ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Of course, that's the native language of Nelson Mandela. Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 14, Text 17. And the cell phones are all tame, right? Na
hi
agni mukhato ayam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk ijyeta avishas rajan yata vipra mukhe utaihi na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi. Na hyagni mukhato yambai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na hyagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na yagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutaihi Na yagni mukhato yam vai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Ijyeta havisha rajan
yata vidramke utai. Na,
na,
not.
He,
indeed.
Agni,
fire.
Mukhataha,
from the mouth.
Or
the flames.
Ayam,
this.
Vai,
certainly.
Pagaman,
Lord Sri Krishna.
Sarva Yajnabhuk,
the enjoyer of the results of all kinds of
sacrifices.
Ijeta
is worshipped.
Avisha,
by offering of clarified butter. Rajan,
O king.
Yata,
as much as.
Vipramukhe,
through the mouth of a Brahmin.
Utaihi,
by offering him first class
food.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the enjoyer of sacrificial offerings. Yet although his lordship eats the oblations offered in the fire, my dear king, he is still more satisfied when nice food made of grains and ghee is offered to him through the mouths of qualified Brahmins. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yagyartat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. All fruitive activities should be performed for sacrifice, which should be directed toward pleasing Krishna. As stated elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord and enjoyer of everything. However, although sacrifice may be offered to please Krishna, he is more pleased when grains and ghee, instead of being offered in the fire, are prepared as prasad and distributed, first to the Brahmins and then to others. This system pleases Krishna more than anything else. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnanjana Shadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Sapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha, Sri Rupam Sharvashatam, Sahagana Raganatam, Vitam Stam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parishana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vitamsha, E Krishna Karuna Sindhav Dina Bandhav Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindho Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Na yagni mukato yam vai. Bhagavan sarva yajna bhuk. Yajeta havisha rajan. Yata vipra mukhe bhutai. We should offer Krishna all nice offerings of food made with ghee, grains, and so on. But here it's more important to satisfy the Brahmins than to satisfy the Lord. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanitaya Cha. To serve the Lord is pleasing to the Lord, but more pleasing is when we serve the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and the cows that are related to the Lord. And then Jagatitai, the whole world. Lokana Mitakarana. We're meant for doing good for the whole world. But first is to satisfy the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are three kinds of charity: charity in goodness, charity in passion, charity in ignorance. Charity in goodness is charity given to a suitable person at a suitable place, a suitable time. Srila Prabhupada comments that especially means to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. There are auspicious occasions and there are holy places. So charity is especially meant to be distributed in that way. When charity is distributed with the idea of making one's reputation, getting one's name on the building or on the plaque, when one is very much concerned with tax write-offs and other benefits that one might get, or when one regrets it later, oh, I gave so much money, how did they ever pull that much out of me? That's passion. Charity and passion. And charity given to an unsuitable person at an unsuitable time, to an unsuitable, at an unsuitable place, and with a negligent mood, is charity in the mode of ignorance. When you're walking on the street at night and you throw a bum, a dime, so you can buy yourself a drink. Of course, the dime doesn't buy you a drink. And anyway, throw him a pound or whatever it is so that he can buy himself something to drink. And that's charity in the mode of ignorance. So the charity should be given as a matter of duty. Yajna, dana, tapas, jiva, pavanani, manishina. These are all purifying activities. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and they should be performed in the mode of goodness or with the transcendental purpose of pleasing the Lord. The Vaishnavas should not take advantage of this verse to preach to the householders that they should feed them opulently with ghee and grains. That's not the idea. Nor should one be very eager to benefit the householders by traveling from house to house to eat sumptuous prasadam. The goal should be to please Krishna, not to please ourselves. The Lord is the true enjoyer of everything. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha purveva cha. Nahi maam abhijanati tat vinam tasyadati te. The Lord is the real enjoyer. He's the real owner, the real enjoyer, therefore. And one who doesn't recognize this will fall down, or he's already fallen. Everything should be done to please Krishna. The prasadam should first be distributed to the Brahmins. One time I was at an airport with Srila Prabhupada, and the devotees were with Prabhupada, and they brought some prasadam for Prabhupada, so Prabhupada took, and then he said, distribute. And then there was some question there, to the devotees or to the other people. Prabhupada said to the devotees. Prabhupada said, charity begins at home. So first, therefore, the welfare activities should first be directed toward the Brahmins. It's the duty of the state, or the duty of the those responsible for social organization, to take care of certain persons first. Brahmins, cows, women, and old people and children. They deserve special attention. The brahmanas don't work for a living. A real brahman is not an employee working for a living. He renders service, and he is the right person to receive charitable contributions. And then whatever he needs, he accepts, and whatever is more than he needs, he distributes to others. The Brahmins, the cows, they require protection and maintenance. Go Brahmanitayaja. The cows come before the Brahmins in that verse. The cows are very dear to Krishna, he's Govinda. And the cows are very important for the welfare of human society. So the cows should be protected and maintained. And women are by nature dependent and vulnerable. They should be protected and maintained. And children, naturally, and old people. Old people need to be maintained by those who are younger so that they can be free for spiritual activities, especially. Or in any case, they're to be maintained. So this is the duty of any civilized people. To be charitable to the bums and the poor is less important. Although that's made headline news in the modern world. In the Vedic culture, they are also given charity, but not first. Not first, after everyone else. They're also, charity should be distributed so lavishly that everyone gets. But starting with the Brahmins, and welfare activities should be especially directed toward the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the women, the children, cows, old people. When the society, if our society gives more importance to feeding the bums and keeping children, giving food to children so that they can be nicely situated in Hiranyakashipu's school, and we don't look after the needs of the old people, the women, the children, the Vaishnavas, the cows, then we're foolish and misdirected in our activities, and the consequences will be unfortunate. Provision should first be made for the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the women, the children, the elderly, and the cows. And then Jagatitai, the rest of the world, should benefit also.
sometimes I see that charity is distributed. I was just in one place, and they're very, they advertise that they're distributing food for life. And the way they distribute the food is that they dump it off at some school, and the staff distributes along with whatever else, who knows what. This is not something we were ever instructed to do by Srila Prabhupada, and some of us think it's rubbish. I was informed by Mahasevita Prabhu, my godmother. He was a brahmachari in Mayapur in the early days. And you've probably been to that, what do they call it? The big kitchen, is that what they call it? It's hard to say because kitchens have gotten bigger in all directions. But you know, there's a large pavilion by the side of the road. Sula Bhojanalaya, where you can easily get food. So that was constructed by Srila Prabhupada's explicit direction for distributing food to the people who would come, anyone, so that anyone or everyone could come to Mayapur and sit and take prasadam. Hindus, Muslims, anyone can come to Mayapur and sit and get full prasadam. Profusely distributed. That was Prabhupada's desire. And maybe you've seen their turnstiles in the entrance, like you find in the underground, or actually they're tall, like you find in the New York subway. Why are they there? Who knows why they're there?
To control the crowds.
To control the crowds. So that they don't rush in, right? That's what I thought. Here's the real story. Srila Prabhupada directed that no one should take any prasadam out. And that you should check to make sure that no one is bringing any prasadam out. They can sit and take as much as they want, but no one should take any prasadam out, and you should check. Because if they take prasadam out, you know, they'll put it in their, you know, under their cloth and you should check, because otherwise they'll take it out and they'll mix it with their fish, and then it's an aparad. Mahasevita was in charge of that. He was put in charge of checking, and that's why the turnstiles are there. Quite a different program from dropping off big buckets of food for the staff of a karmi school to distribute with no sankirtan. At some avidyavana, some place of ignorance, so that they could stay there and make progress back to Mirtu Samsara Varnavid. Not our program, we hope. Srila Prabhupada continues, especially in India, there's practically no ghee. For everything that should be done with ghee, people use a certain type of oil preparation, dalda. Oil, however, is never recommended for offering in a sacrificial fire. We never find that Krishna is pleased by the offerings of grains and vegetable oil. In Kali Yuga, the available quantity of food grains and ghee is gradually diminishing, and people are embarrassed that they cannot produce sufficient ghee and food grains. Under the circumstances, the Shastras enjoin, yajyai sankirtana prayarya jantihi sumetasaha. In this age, those who are intellectual offer yajna or perform sacrifices through the sankirtan movement. The system of sacrifice as performed in previous ages involved huge offerings of ghee and grains, golden utensils, and highly qualified Brahmins. And
big altars, and it was huge. Actually, it had to be sponsored by the government. Like now in this age, scientific endeavors are sponsored by the government. If you want to build a big enough atom smasher to smash the nucleus of a hydrogen iron atom so that you can explore hydrogen as an alternative source of energy for when oil and coal run out and uranium run out, then you have to be a government. It's not something a group of folks do in their backyard. It's such a big deal. Those atom smashing devices take up huge amounts of, just the real estate is hugely costly. It has to extend for miles, practically, football fields. And then the equipment, and then the scientists, and then so much. So a government is the only one. In previous ages, these yajnas were such a big thing that they were performed by the government. It required so much in terms of paraphernalia, and it also had to be performed as scientific experiments are performed exactly the right way. The mantras had to be chanted with precision by the right people in the right way. There was a referee priest to check and to counterbalance improper pronunciation. Huge thing. And now they can't even get ghee to cook. Ghee is in shortage, grains may not be available. And the grains are grown through artificial means of cultivation with various poisons and so on. Poison grains and vegetable oils. Not the greatest ingredients for a sacrifice. And maybe you can keep the things on plastic plates also. So in this age, that kind of sacrifice is no longer possible. Yajna Sankirtana prayer. In Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan is the right means of sacrifice. Yadapnoti, tadapnoti, kalo sankirjakesha. Whatever one could get in previous ages by meditation, by sacrifice, by grand deity worship, can be achieved in Kali Yuga through the Sankirtan of the holy name of Krishna. And therefore, the distribution of the holy name of Krishna is the greatest welfare activity. The greatest welfare activity. And along with the Sankirtan, there should be distribution of transcendental knowledge in the form of books. Or distribution of knowledge in the form of books is itself Sankirtan, glorification of the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. And along with Sankirtan, there should be prasadam. That was Prabhupada's desire, that at our temples or where we go for Sankirtan, prasadam should be distributed as part of our program. Everyone should join the Sankirtan movement, offering to the fire of this movement the oblations of his knowledge and riches. In our Sankirtan movement, or Hare Krishna movement, we offer sumptuous prasad to the deity and later distribute the same prasad to the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, and then to the people in general. Krishna's prasad is offered to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and the prasad of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas is offered to the general populace. This kind of sacrifice, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and distribution of prasad is the most perfect and bona fide way
of offering sacrifice for the pleasure of yajna for Vishnu.
Any questions?
Brahmins don't work,
no.
Sometimes we see that.
Could you speak up?
Sometimes we see that there's some Vaishya activities.
Sometimes we see that there's some Vaishya activity. Well, Vaishya activity means Vaishya. The Vaishyas work. Of course, Vaishya is also not an employee. Vaishyas are not employees. The Vaishyas go into business, or the Vaishyas are involved in agriculture. But they're not employees. They may be engaged in activities more directed toward economic development. The Brahmins are engaged in intellectual activity and, you could say, religious functions, teaching. The Kshatriyas are engaged in administration and law enforcement. And the Vaishyas are engaged in cow protection, agriculture, and trade. And the employees of the Shudras, in the Kali Yuga, people are trained to be employees. They're trained to be Shudras. They may be sophisticated Shudras. They're trained to spin numbers or to do scientific research. But it's all under contract. They're working for the Defense Department. They're working for a big corporation. They're working for somebody. That means they're Shudras. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that a Brahmin has six duties: to be learned and to make others learned, to perform sacrifice and engage others in sacrifice, to receive charity and to distribute charity. These are the engagements of the Brahmin. In times of emergency, the Brahmin may take the occupation of a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. The Bhagavatam says he should never take the occupation of a dog, which means Shudra. But what was your question?
Sometimes we see that even though we sometimes do some Brahminic activities, we engage in sometimes Vaishya activities like business and stuff. We see sometimes we get engaged in Vaishya activities even though we're trying to perform Brahminical activities.
Vaishya activities means?
Business, trying to work and stuff like
that. As I mentioned, that's not necessarily business or trying to work is not necessarily Vaishya activity. When you have your own business, that's Vaishya activity. When you're getting a paycheck, that's Shudra activity. It's not that. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the definition. The person who's getting a paycheck is engaged in the occupation of the Shudra. Nanda Maharaj wasn't getting a paycheck. He was taking care of his own land and his own cows. That's Vaishya. Of course, Vaishnav can take any engagement. Doesn't matter. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These are external designations according to outward activities. But a Vaishnav is not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he's Vaishya. You have more to ask? The education directed at creating Shudras is miseducation. Modern education is deliberately, actually, if you get into Thomas Dewey and the various founders of modern education, that was their objective, to make
citizens who would basically fit into the machinery, not to create independently thoughtful, spiritually detached people. That was not in the picture. Especially it's aimed at creating productive workers to fit into the modern way of life, which is aimed especially at economic development and more economic development. Ill education is something different.
Yes.
What if you have Kshatriya abilities? How can you use them today? Overthrow the government. Kshatriya's business is to protect. So Kshatriya may have engagement in state affairs, military work, police. Work is also the business of the Kshatriyas, or administration of the state. These are all Kshatriya activities, management of a social order. These are Kshatriya activities. The Pandavas were Kshatriyas. They requested that give us each each of us a village. We have to be in charge of something. Ishrapav. A Kshatriya isn't somebody who works for somebody. Kshatriya's mood is he has to be in charge. Ishrapav. He has to be in control. There has to be a section of people who control things. Society uncontrolled will be chaotic. It will be full of illegal elements, exploitation, and just chaos. So Ishrabad, for the benefit of the citizens, there should be someone who has a take-charge mentality. Mubarak took over Pakistan, he led a bloodless coup and overthrew the government and became the leader of the country. There was an interview with him, and they asked about when he would hold elections, and they asked various political questions. And then they asked him finally, how do you like what you're doing? And he said, to tell you the truth, it's good to be in charge. Yeah, so that's the Kshatriya's mood. To tell you the truth, I rather like being in charge. Kshatriya.
Raj, you talk about modern education and how it's training people to become Shudras.
Modern education is training people to become Shudras, yes.
At the time in the Grahastha community, parents are wondering where should we send our children?
Grahastha's community is wondering where to send your children. Send them to a materialistic school where they can learn how to make money and be an employee for someone and waste their life. That's a good idea. Prabhupada's idea was that they should be trained to be in control of the mind, control of the senses, and a pure way of life in Krishna consciousness. That was Prabhupada's idea, where they should learn the science of Krishna from books like Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, and they should learn how to go back to Godhead. That's school. Hiranyakashipu's school was how to learn to be a bluffer, a cheater, and learn how to, in so many ways, act for sense gratification. And Prahlad Maharaj blew the whole school. Of course, Narad Muni blew the whole school. He was teaching spiritual knowledge. And then in Parampara, Prahlad Maharaj picked it up, and he was telling his friends, why are you wasting your life simply for sense gratification, which is available automatically? You should be engaged. Stop this friends and enemies business. And focus on the real business of life, which is to satisfy Krishna. That's what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching. Bhagavad Ashram.
Reflecting on this point about the chatri, I was just reflecting on some of the points. The question was, what if you have chatri tendencies? Well, the real chatri tendency is are you ready to pull the spear through your body and chop the head off your enemy to get to the kingdom? So we don't really have any chatri tendencies. We have administrative tendencies, which are also found within
the Vaishya community. That's a fact.
And like the point you were saying, nobody, the Kshatriya doesn't buy his kingdom.
No. But he takes it.
He takes it.
Yeah.
And he holds it until somebody takes it from
him. But it's not only the application of violence that's the occupation of the Kshatriya. Because once he does have charge, then he has to see that everything's running.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that while he is in charge, there will be challenges.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada makes it clear that ultimately comes to a fight.
That's ultimately?
Comes to a fight.
Yeah, it ultimately comes to a fight. Those who are Krishna conscious devotees, we have a lot of fighting to do. We have a lot of fighting to do. The materialistic world is led by people who view sense gratification as the goal of life. Kamopabhoga parama etavaditi nischita. They think that to gratify the senses to the greatest extent is the highest aspiration. You may do it in a sophisticated way through music, through art, through this or that, but the gratification of the mind and senses is the business of human society. That's their outlook. And therefore they're called in Bhagavad Gita, demons, asuras. And the business of the Krishna consciousness movement is to fight against this demonic way of life. Srila Prabhupada actually liked to invoke military metaphors. He wrote me that, I think he was to me, that that we should be distributing our books just as bombs are dropped during wartime. And that wasn't a unique letter. There's so many military figures that Prabhupada invoked that it's a fight against mind. And in fact, when you become vigorous in distributing Krishna consciousness, then Maya becomes vigorous in resisting and opposing and trying to wipe you out, in fact, get you off the map. So it becomes a fight. And here in England, we had a big fight to keep this place. Full-scale fight with strategy and counter-strategy and various kinds of forces brought to bear. So those who have a fighting propensity, in Bombay also, Prabhupada was fighting against the demons. And at the end, Prabhupada said, it was a good fight. Yes?
In a typical case scenario, where obviously the government, to say the least, are not maintaining those who are attempting to live a meaningful life, which we are trying to create in the movement, obviously devotees have to go out and accept occupations and so forth, because they're not main government, they're never going to, Does that not come as sutra?
It's not the government only. It's Krishna, finally. A Brahmin is a person who's convinced that Krishna will maintain me. Prabhupada didn't check before he came to America to see whether the government would finance him, either the Indian government or the American government. He just came. He just came. Of course, in the absence of the government, the society should take care of these things.
Every religious society makes provision for seeing to the welfare of its members, particularly the old people, orphans, widows, children. The government may or may not assist. It's the householders. Householders have a life of enjoyment, so-called. And that enjoyment comes at a price. It's not that they just get to accumulate as much as they can. They're supposed to sacrifice half their income. Why? They have to take care of the elderly, they have to take care of the children, they have to take care of widows, they have to take care of orphans, they have to take care of all those who need caring for.
So if a Grihastha devotee who's accepted the Brahminical diksha goes out and works a job, does that make him no longer a Brahmin status?
Yeah, he's not a Brahmin in terms of his occupation. Just because he's got a sacred thread and he's working at Tesco, at the cash register, it's not that that suddenly becomes a Brahminical occupation because he can rip out his thread and chant a mantra. It's the occupation of the Shudra. But if he's a Vaishnav, then that's beyond Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But the occupation is a Shudra occupation. But he's not a Shudra because he's a devotee of Vibhura. Something?
Just back to the Kshatriya thing.
Mm.
At the point you were just making. In the introduction of Krishna, Prabhupada describes that this whole world is like a battlefield.
Mm. Yeah, the whole world, Prabhupada says in the introduction to Krishna book, is like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So those who are looking for Kshatriya engagement, fight Maya. Big, you know, Kshatriya elects a big enemy too. That, who was that? That Banasura. He was lamenting, I've got so many arms, and there's nobody to fight with. There's nobody to fight with. He was frustrated. He was banging his arms on the mountains because there was just nobody to fight with. Like Kshatriya wants, and even that when Krishna and Arjuna and Bhim approached Jarasandha, he said, I'm not going to fight with you, Krishna. You're a coward. You forget it. And Arjuna, you're a lightweight also. I'll fight with Bhima. He's a worthy opponent. He wasn't thinking, well, you know, who could I knock off most easily? Who's the biggest guy here? I'll fight with him. That's Kshatriya's rule. So who's the biggest bully on the block, or who's the biggest opponent? Mine. Got 10 arms. She's got everybody on her side, practically.
And in terms of you saying, it's probably militaristic language.
Hmm.
For me, the most telling one in that regard is when he says, we must have unflinching faith.
Hmm.
And that word unflinching, in my experience, is always used in terms of very severe opposition.
Yeah. Yeah.
The soldiers were unflinching in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in team sports, especially contact sports, they talk about how the defense was unflinching.
Yeah.
In the onslaught.
Or in business competition also, you know, if you flinch, you lose.
Yeah, either blinks first.
Yeah.
And one other point in regard to the points that Annie Rudolph was making, I reflect upon how Srila Prabhupada explained about his own father, that he had a cloth merchant shop.
Mm.
But he considered that was his means of livelihood.
Mm.
But his occupation was bhajan.
Yeah, his occupation was bhajan, and his livelihood was selling cloth.
Yeah.
It's not that his life was selling cloth. You know, well, what are you? I'm a cloth merchant. No, my business is I'm a devotee of Krishna, and I get money this way or that way. Some occupation must be there.
but not that that's my real business. My real business. And therefore, Prabhupada said he was inviting saintly persons and so on.
You can just put a bowl of rice out for the rats. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So they didn't eat the cloth.
They didn't eat the cloth. They're given something. All right. Yes.
Maharaj, for most devotees in the course of the day, they tend to do activities which are managerial, mm-hmm. and they do brahminical activities. Mm-hmm. So what sometimes happens is we carry over the traits from one activity into another, and it becomes like a conflict. Because we're not focusing on one occupation, like say for example someone's managing, and then they have to go and do a brahminical activity, like teach someone or give impartial advice.
And we carry over. That. You can do that. Prabhupada was expert in all these affairs. He knew management. He was expert at accounting and financial calculation. He was expert in all sorts of departments. An expert in, of course, literature and teaching. So it's not that... we can use all of that. Krishna consciousness movement. Sometimes you read about great saintly persons, and part of their greatness is that they were like, I have another time to use that term, but they were super ultra managers. Kick something or other, managers. They were, you know, hot. And they did it for the service of God. So everything is... I mean, sometimes we wish that for our brahminical, sometimes you have that problem. You see preachers go someplace. They have no clue how to manage. They have no clue when they're getting ripped off. They have no clue how to conduct ordinary affairs effectively. They know the philosophy. They know how to speak nicely. But when you really want to get something done, you need... that, and plus someplace or other, whether from outside help or from your own resources, you need management, you need capital, you need land, you need all of these other things. So we welcome it. It's not like, oh, this guy's a... We welcome a carpenter. My God, when we need a carpenter, it's so great if there's a devotee who knows, you know, how to put together an altar, or how to fix a roof, or how to do... Now it's a shudra activity. Carpenter is an archetypical sudra. But for the service of Krishna, we can art. That's shudra activity. An artist is a shudra. But when an artist is a Vaishnava and paints the pastimes of Krishna, that so-called shudra activity becomes a wonderful transcendental asset. So our temples are decorated, our books are decorated. So we don't reject anything. We don't say, oh, that's true. All of these things have their utility. When they are engaged in the service of the Lord, they all become transcendental. Yes? Oil standard. Well, I'm going to stay out of that one.
Out of the oil?
Yeah. I won't enter into kitchen controversies. What do they say? Choose your battles. Prabhupada liked ghee. Krishna has a reputation for butter and ghee.
It's
announcements about one devotee who's very sick in the hospital.
And one devotee is sick and in the hospital. Yeah.
It's basically about Bhagavata. I don't know if you remember him.
Excuse me?
Bhagavata.
Ah. Bhagavata.
Yeah, he used to be a manager of the temple. His wife is requesting devotees to refrain from going and visiting him because he's getting a little bit better, but he's feeling still very poorly, and he's feeling embarrassed to having all these tubes and stuff, you know, attached to his body. So all those who are very close to him, they could go, and but they should be as with his wife. They can go and visit him, but all those who are well wishers and who are not very close to him, there is a card. I've been asked, you know, to arrange. Nanda Shakti is good. He made a very beautiful card. I think it's on the ready side. And for 2 days, we will be at the Prabhupada's. He's over there. So you can write a little message, some prayers or something. And then when he gets getting better and he's transferred in a more relaxed ward to the hospital, then you can go and visit him freely. But you can write your message there, and that's the way you express your wish. And it's getting better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.